We are going to be in 1 Peter chapter 2. We're spending a little more time here than I anticipated, which is always my case if you've been around. I'm a slow Bible teacher. I teach very slowly through verse by verse, and I thought I was going to do this in 1 week, and then I said, oh, I can't do that to these people, so I'm going to do it in 2 weeks, and I couldn't do that, and so now it's probably going to be 5 weeks through this one portion, because I thought I was going to finish it up today. This one portion I thought I was going to finish up. We're not going to get there, so 1 Peter is a letter that Peter had his scribe write down, and it was a letter to believers scattered in what we today call modern-day Turkey, and they had left their homelands in persecution. They were persecuted, very difficult circumstances and situations, and some of them that had gone to the regions of the Roman Empire, they had turned back to their old faith systems, whatever that was, Gentiles to whatever God they were serving, the Jews back to Judaism, but there was a group of believers scattered again in the five provinces who were remaining faithful to Jesus. So Peter's writing to them to encourage them to remain faithful, keep their hands on Jesus, keep their heart on Jesus, keep following Jesus, and giving very practical advice about how do you do that, how do you live that kind of a life in the middle of the world we're in. So that's what we're looking at. And we're in the portion of it where it's just very, very practical. So I've already had you stand a couple times. So let's stay seated, but let's read this out loud together. There's a couple of slides, I think three slides up here. Let's read this out loud together. For the Lord's sake, submit to all human authority, whether the king as head of the state or the officials he has appointed. For the king has sent them to punish those who do wrong and to honor those who do right. It is God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. For you are free, yet you are God's slaves. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. Respect everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, and respect the king. Father, speak to our hearts today. Encourage us, challenge us. Do what you're wanting to do as we walk through a couple ideas from this passage. In Jesus' name, amen. A few weeks ago, we spent a considerable amount of time on the line for the Lord's sake. And I tried to bring home the point that we do what Jesus tells us to do, not because it's expedient, not because it's what we want to do always, not because it's the best thing for our political party, not because it's the best thing for, our pocketbook, but we do it for the Lord's sake, because Jesus tells us to do it. We don't know what Jesus is always up to. We don't know what Jesus is trying to accomplish. And because we don't know what Jesus is trying to accomplish, we do what he tells us to do. And we walk in that way. And then he says, for the Lord's sake, submit to all human authority. And we talked about what that is all about. And then he said, it is God's will that your honorable lives should silence those that are ignorant. And in order for our honorable lives to quiet those who are ignorant, it requires that we would live honorable lives. Right? Doesn't that make sense? And the idea that we would have honorable lives is that I'm living in such a way, and that you would be living in such a way, that people could honor us. That they could say, like, I don't believe what he believes. That some of the stuff he believes is kooky. But he's an honorable man. She's an honorable woman. That we would live that in such a way that people could honor us. That's what it's talking about. And then he goes, and again, even when they don't believe, they're like, I don't believe that. I don't think that's true. That's not, using our vernacular we use in the world today, my truth, kind of idea. But regardless, they would go, but he's an honorable man. Then he goes on, he says this, for you are free, yet you are God's slaves. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. So follow the flow here. He says, it's God's will that we would live honorable lives because you are free. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you've submitted your life to his leadership, if you've surrendered, sometimes I use these words, if we've surrendered our past, our present and our future into Jesus' hands. I mean, just though that idea is that he would be in control. But he says, if we've done that, then we should have honorable lives, but it brings freedom to us. So I'm going to talk about freedom today. Most of what I'm going to talk about today is the whole idea, this concept is freedom. Because we see freedom as Americans one way, and the Bible teaches freedom a different way. Okay? And I remember last year when Barbara and I were in Uganda, and I was talking about some of their cultural issues, and I would say, you know, and I know what I'm telling you right now may not be the Ugandan way, but it's the Jesus way. And as a Jesus follower, you're not called to live the Ugandan way. You're called to live the what? The Jesus way. Same thing. We're not called to live the American way. We're called to live the Jesus way. Now, sometimes they coincide, but sometimes they clash. You know, the American way and the Jesus way clash. And when they clash, we're free to do what he wants us to do. And so we're going to talk about freedom. See, when you say yes to Jesus, all of a sudden what ends up starts happening is you begin to be free of guilt. You begin to be free of shame. You begin to be free of those things that haunt you from your past. You begin to be free of those things. You're free of the power of sin, the sentence of eternity away from God, and free from trying to get God's approval by the way you live. Because too often what we do, we want to follow God, but we're hoping somehow we can get God's approval by the way we live. Grace is the idea that you already have God's approval. You already have his approval. You don't, matter of fact, the reality is you can't earn God's approval. The Jewish people, up until the Messiah, the Jewish people did everything they could possibly do to try and have God's approval, and they never got it because he had to send a Savior. So we're free. You don't have to try and get God's approval. But it doesn't mean that we're free to do whatever we want to do. Notice the passage again. He says, go ahead and throw that next slide up. He says this. I thought I took that one out. This, there you go. You are free, yet you are God's slaves. When a person says yes to Jesus, they are free. But now they become God's slaves. So God frees people so that they'll be his slaves. It's kind of like, wait a second. Is that really freedom then? You know, is that really freedom if all of a sudden somehow I'm free to, in Christ, but that freedom doesn't mean to do whatever I want to do. It means that I'm free to do what God wants me to do. That's where the true freedom is. That's where true freedom lies. And freedom in the American way, is freedom is the idea of not being controlled. You know, there's no constraints on me. I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, with whomever I want, without any consequences whatsoever. At least that's how some people want it. And the people that say, well, there's still consequences, they'll still say, I want to be free. And yeah, there are going to be consequences, but I'm going to be free. And yet the Jesus way is we find freedom in Jesus to do what he wants us to do. You know, freedom that's misunderstood is often, I'm going to use an illustration here. It's like a river that is out of control. It's like a river that goes over its banks and begins to bring destruction in people's lives. When people say, I'm free to do whatever I want to do, oftentimes what they're talking about is they're talking about removing the banks of the river so the water can just go wherever it wants to go and do whatever it wants to do. Does that make sense? I don't remember a lot of my childhood. Vast majority of my childhood, I don't remember. I had a brain injury when I was 16, and so I just don't remember most of my childhood. But one of the starkest memories I have of my childhood is when I was probably 10 years old, maybe 11 years old, and we were at the dinner table. We had nine kids, although all nine of them weren't at home. One brother was in Vietnam at the time, and one brother had moved out. So there were seven kids at home, parents. Grandparents were there. My grandparents lived with us. Big old huge dinner table, you know. And my brother was on one end of the table. My dad's on the other end. And my brother's 18 at the time. And my brother and my dad got into a fight at the dinner table. Not a physical fight, but a very heated, arguing, yelling fight. And I mean, this is, again, one of the most memorable things from my childhood. My brother said to my dad, he said, I'm white, I'm free. No, he said, I'm 18, I'm white, and I'm free. I will do what I want to do. And very loudly to my dad. And my dad says, well, that may be true, but as long as you're living in my house, those rules don't apply. The sad part is, as soon as my brother graduated from high school, he moved out. And my brother spent the rest of his life free, but in complete bondage. He was a drug addict. He was an alcoholic. My niece, 10, 11 years old, is making dinner for his, getting the groceries and making dinner for her parents, who are drug addicts and alcoholics. Right before he didn't end his life, but he just took himself off all meds and ended up dying in 8 hours. The doctor said, you'll have 8 hours and you'll die. And a year later, his wife died of an overdose. But he spent the rest of his life in bondage. See, oftentimes the idea that I'm free, the American idea that I'm free, sends people into bondage. I can drink as much as I want, whenever I want, however I want. Next thing you know, they're bound in bondage to alcohol. I can watch whatever I want, and next thing you know, they're in bondage to pornography. I can gamble. Next thing you know, people can be in bondage to gambling and shopping and food. And I mean, the list is endless. But when people say I'm free to do whatever I want to do, oftentimes what they're saying is remove the banks of the river, and then the river just starts going wherever it wants to go and wreaking havoc in people's lives. My brother said to me, so my brother, he did not like the government. He did not, and I don't either. Probably it's a family thing, or maybe it's just a people thing. But I don't like paying taxes, and my brother didn't like paying taxes. My brother didn't even have Social Security when he was getting ready to die. He didn't have Social Security. He had nothing. He was on total on, you know, some limited amount of government help. Okay, since that word won't come out right now. And he called me, and I was the one family member that we kept contact. And he called me, and he said, "Matt, I've done this to myself. I've spent my whole life working under the table because I wasn't going to pay taxes, and now I'm absolutely destitute." And it always sends me back to this line when we're sitting at the dinner table, and my brother's saying, "I'm 18, I'm white, and I'm free." And it starts a lifelong battle against the river. And him and his wife both ended up drowning in the river. Y'all with me? See, we think of freedom too often in the American way, that nobody's going to tell me what to do. You're not my what? Boss. You're not my boss. You're not my boss. You know, that kind of an idea. And yet so often that attitude can lead people into bondage. And unfortunately, we don't always let go of that when we become followers of Jesus. We still hold on to that idea that I'm going to do what I want to do. And yet freedom, the freedom that he talks about, he says, yet you are God's slaves. So the freedom that he's talking about is this freedom, but the freedom brings with it some responsibility. Are those motorcycles going to the oyster thing? Is that what those are? Well, okay. There's a bunch of them. So I might be free, so I need to ask myself the question, I'm free to do this, but is it the responsible thing to do? That's one of the questions to ask. I might be free, but is it responsible? It might be free, but is it what the Spirit wants me to do? Let me take you down a thought process here. I don't have it all the way baked, but I've been baking on it. But it's Jesus is the freest person who ever lived on this planet. There's never been anyone who was as free as Jesus, right? And yet Jesus never ever... and I challenge you, find a passage, find one of the stories. Jesus never used his freedom to his own gain. He never used his freedom to get something. He never used his freedom to manipulate circumstances, situations, people, whatever it happened to be. He never used his freedom so that he somehow benefited from it. He always used his freedom for what? For other people. For what the Father was doing and what the Father wanted to do, and for other people. I mean, Jesus was, can you think of anyone who's lived as freely as Jesus lived? And yet, here's some thoughts. Jesus had the freedom to embrace people whom others wouldn't even touch. I mean, you know, the leper that people wouldn't even come close to. And yet Jesus, because he was totally free, he did not have to listen to the religious rules. He didn't have to worry about all the things that everybody else was worried about. And because the religious rules were, the leper had to say, unclean, 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 so that no one would come near them. And that was the rule, the religious rules they lived under. And yet Jesus embraced them. He touched them. The woman with the issue of blood. Again, same thing. She's had this hemorrhaging that had gone on for years. And she has to cry when she goes out in public, unclean, so that no one would come near her and become unclean by touching her. And Jesus, she reached out and touched Jesus' hem, the hem of his garment. Because Jesus was totally free. He had the freedom to reject the teachings and the practices of the most powerful spiritual leaders. Remember that one occasion where they had the paralytic man and people wanted Jesus to heal him, but they went to the house that Jesus was in and they couldn't get in the house? So they climbed up on the roof, they pulled the roof back, they lowered him down on a mat, and then Jesus says, instead of be healed, Jesus says, get up, you're forgiven. And the religious leaders are like, you can't say he's forgiven. You have no authority to say he's forgiven. And Jesus says, well, which is easier, to say you're forgiven or you're healed? And the guy gets up and walks. Jesus was totally free to say what needed to be said without any constraints upon him whatsoever, because he was free. He had freedom to serve others on the Sabbath. He had freedom to speak the truth to the most powerful people who wanted him dead. He had the freedom to do all that. See, for non-believers, freedom is the absence of constraint. It's the absence of moral rules. It's the absence of obligation. It's the absence of any limitation. There is nothing that would hold me back. I can go and do whatever I want to do. But for the follower of Jesus, freedom is to be lined up with God's purposes and God's plans. See, Jesus was free, but he always did what the Father wanted him to do. Here's what the scripture says. He says, I tell you the truth. The Son of Man can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing, and whatever the Father does, the Son also does. That's freedom. That's freedom, to do what I'm supposed to do, to do what God wants me to do what God has instructed me to do. Here's some of those scriptures. Again, this is not just Peter's one thought. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 9. He said, even though I am a free man with no master. That sounds a lot like my brother. Okay, I'm a free man. You're not going to tell me what to do. He says, even though I'm a free man, I have become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. This person needs that. And if I can do it, I'm going to do it because I want to see them come to Jesus. If this person needs that, if that person needs that. I have a neighbor who, woman that we're neighbors and friends with, and I love the lady, and she's a wonderful woman. And she called one day, we would be on opposite ends of almost everything. But she called and said, hey, Matt, I know that you used to do ranch hand stuff, and I got a whole truckload of hay, and I need some help moving the hay, you know, putting it in the barn. Can you get help? And I go, absolutely. And I go down there and help her move the hay. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying I'm trying to live what Paul says. I'm going to do what needs to be done because I want people to come to Jesus. And they're not going to come to Jesus just because I stand on the corner and preach at them. Right? So that's what Paul says. Or here's another one. Paul says to the church in Galatia, you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful lust, your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. He says, I set you free. I came to set you free. But the reason I came to set you free is that so you can love your neighbor. That you can minister to your neighbor. You can have your neighbor over. You can serve your neighbor. Y'all with me? That's why he said, he didn't just set us free so now we could go do whatever we want to do. He set us free so that we could be ambassadors of him in the world, being free to love people. And he says, instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Or here's Titus. He gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, to make us his very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. He didn't say just once in a while doing a good deed. If it's a good deed, do it. Notice what he says. Totally what? Totally committed to doing good deeds. Totally committed to doing good deeds. He set us free. Set us free. Forgave us everything. Called us to be his own people. Again, not so we can do what we want to do, but instead so we would be people who would do good deeds in the world. It's one of the things that it says about Jesus, is Jesus, everywhere he went, he was doing what? Good deeds. He was doing good everywhere he went. And that's what he calls for us. So let's finish the verse. He says, you are free, the verse that, you know, that we're looking at. He says, you are free, yet you are God's slaves. Don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. Don't use your freedom as a cover-up of doing evil, you know, covering up whatever you're doing. Don't use your freedom to conceal your actual intent or your hard attitude. Don't use your freedom to do your own thing when it goes against God's word or against the law of the land. So here's the flow. Here's the flow from the start of the passage. He says this. He says, for the Lord's sake, submit to all human authority. It's God's will that you would live, that you would have honorable lives, and you are free, yet don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. Now, you may have to use it as the reason for doing good. Think about all the things in our world that believers have. I mean, we can't even begin to scratch the surface of 2,000 years of all the things believers have done that's good. But just think about some of the things that believers have done that were counter even to the laws of the land. And yet they said, okay, I'm submitted. We'll go back to what we talked about. My heart is submitted, but I don't agree with this. And in Peter's day, they would have never even had the opportunity to go against the government. In America, we have the opportunity. When something's wrong, doesn't line up, we have the opportunity to get involved and do something about that, right? I mean, it's one of the privileges we have as Americans, as opposed to some other countries of the world where people don't have that privilege. So just think for a minute. Think about not that long ago, child labor laws. Well, children were abused. Children had to do unbelievable things in factories, on farms, wherever it happened to. If you know anything about American history, like world history, children were just, you know, back to Jeff's thing last week, his thing with the brickyard, you know, kids working in the brickyard endless hours. That was America. Till a bunch of people, some of them, many of them believers, who said, we can't treat kids this way. And they began to fight for child labor laws. And child labor laws got changed through the process. Child labor laws got changed to where now, and now I think they've gone too far. Okay, I'll just tell you my own opinion. I think they've gone too far. For years, we've had teenagers do yard work around here during the summer, you know, like summer job kind of thing. But, you know, if you're under 16, you can't run a weed whacker. It just doesn't make any sense. You know, the gardeners, they're not here today, but two of the gardener boys, great workers. I mean, amazing workers, these young men. And like Elias, he's not here, so it's good I'm not embarrassing him. But Elias just got back from the Bering Sea fishing on his dad's fishing boat. I mean, talk about dangerous jobs. But he can't run the riding lawnmower at our church. Okay. So now the pendulum went too far, okay? But it used to be over here. And people said, we can't do that. Women's suffrage. You know, the whole right of women to vote. And even though there's some people today, preachers who are preaching that women shouldn't vote unless they are voting along the lines of their husband and in agreement with their husband, I could go down the whole thing. There's a guy not too far from us that he's a nationwide known guy, but he says women should not have the right to vote unless they're voting in with their husband. But 100 plus years ago, it was a lot of more Christian women, at the same time as the Prohibition, where Christian women fought to say women need to have the right to vote. Women are citizens just like men. They need to have the right to vote. They need to have the right to say their piece in our country. Again, a lot of Christians were involved in that. The fight against slavery, Wilberforce, Lincoln, you know, et cetera, those that worked in the Underground Railroad. I mean, that was all against the government kind of thing, but they all worked. Do you get the point? There's all kinds of amazing things that have happened in our country because someone said, I'm submitted to God, I'm God's slave, and it goes against the government, but I'm not going to take up arms, I'm not going to kill people, but I am going to fight. I am going to fight for what's right and have brought out all kinds of things. Protesting abortion, working for better schools and pointing out areas that they must be reformed, not baking, baking and candle making and weddings and all the whole thing against conscience. I mean, the list goes on and on. Freedom, but freedom also means, in every one of those situations, freedom meant, so they would say, I'm free. let me just give you a little thing from Abraham Lincoln. When Abraham Lincoln was writing about slavery, he said, if slavery is totally based upon the color of the skin, he said, if it was totally based upon the color of skin, some of you know this because you've learned it in school, but he said, then where does it all stop? Because what if there is someone who is lighter skinned than you are? Then they have the right to enslave you. Okay, we got all kinds of shades here. Because of your red hair, light skin, sunburn like a wild man kind of thing. There's a bunch of people in this room who Justin would be the slave of if it was totally based on the color of skin. And he said, and if it's based on economics, well, what about the guy who has a little bit more than you? He said, if it's based on education, what about the guy who has a little bit more education than you? What if you're the most uneducated person in the room? Almost everybody you could be the slave of. And that was part of Abraham Lincoln's rationale regarding, guys, you can't go down this road. People should be free. They are people. And every, you know, their economic status, their education status, their skin color status, well, they should be free. And that was all, again, coming out of this. Anyway, let's keep going. Paul said this in Galatians chapter 5. He said, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Here's my kind of the last thought that I want you to hopefully make clear to you. Anytime what I think is my freedom leads someone else into bondage, it's not really freedom. Okay? Anytime my behavior, anytime my lifestyle, anytime my thought process, whatever it happens to be, anytime my freedom leads someone else into bondage, it's not freedom. Like if you think you're free to treat people however you want, say whatever you want, write whatever you want, post whatever you want, whatever it happens to be, and you're free to do all of that because I'm white, I'm American, I'm free, or I'm white, and I'm whatever. I mean, whatever lines people pull out. If it sends someone else into bondage, those words should not be spoken. I mean, there's parents who have said things to kids that have sent kids into bondage. There are adults that because of things that happened in their childhood believe that they can now live and continually live in their trauma or their childhood abuse, and then can say whatever they want to say, believe whatever they want to believe, push whatever they want to push. If it's freedom, then it creates freedom. Does that make sense? It doesn't create bondage. So when you're like wrestling with, well, I'm free, okay, does my freedom put someone else in bondage? In bondage to bitterness? In bondage to anger? In bondage to chemicals? In bondage to finances? I'm free to do whatever I want. Anything that we do that we say we're free, that freedom should not lead someone else into bondage. Y'all with me? Let's all stand together. Here's the wrap-up, and we'll take the last part of the verse next week, but here's the wrap-up for today. You are free. If you're a follower of Jesus, you are free. But that freedom means you're free to serve others. You're free and expected to serve others. That's what Peter's saying. He's saying to these people who are in the world of persecution under Nero, he's saying, you're free. You know, as a follower of Jesus, you're free. But you're not free to do whatever you want. You're free to serve. You're free to give. Because freedom, the American way of freedom is about me. And the Jesus way of freedom is about others. Right? The American way is freedom is about me. The Jesus way is freedom is about others. Father, we all would admit in this room, there have been so many times in our lives where we have failed to live for other people. We have taken freedom and we have used it and abused it so that we could do what we want to do. We could carry around the attitude we want to carry around. We could say the things we want to say. We could react to people, and we could even harm people because we're free. Lord, work into our lives this idea of freedom so that we could be free so as to serve. We could be free so as to love. We could be free so as to do good works, as the word said there in Titus, to do good works to the people around us, the people in our neighborhood, the people in our community. So Lord, teach us what godly freedom, what freedom in Christ looks like. Teach us, Lord, and discipline us when we're starting to get it wrong. Do what you need to discipline us when we're getting it wrong. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for speaking to our hearts in the room. Thanks for speaking to people online. Thanks for speaking to people even in other places right now that participate with us. Think of Sarah in Pakistan and the men in Uganda. Father, thank you for what you're doing, and use what the truth of your word to change people's lives. In Jesus' name, amen.